Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the promise and the hope that we have that you will come again, that you will keep your promises started on the cross and through our world to take us home to be with you. Strengthen us, dear Father, and prepare us for your sure and certain advent. In Jesus' name, amen. When do you start to get concerned about the amount of gas in the gas tank in the vehicle that you drive? When it gets just a little bit below half, are you looking for that gas station? Are you worried or nervous? It wasn't too many years ago, I had someone in the pickup with me, and we were driving to a conference, and he saw that the gas gauge had hit the quarter of a tank mark. And every time we got near a gas station, he would say, "Pastor, don't you want to go fill up?" And I said, "No, we've got plenty. We'll be fine." All the way there, and all the way home, and every gas station we passed, it was the same. "Don't you want to go fill up?" He was nervous. He was worried. He wanted to be ready and prepared. And honestly, he didn't want to walk. Or are you the one that looks at the light that comes on and has been on for a while, and then you think, "Oh, that's fine. No worries. I've got time." And you drive, and the needle is down below E so far, it's almost to the next letter in the alphabet, and you still think you're okay. We're all like that. We aren't always as ready as we think we should be. We always think we have more time. "I'll get it later. I'll do it later." I don't doubt when I was driving with that guy in the pickup, I didn't doubt that I needed gas when the light came on. I didn't doubt that the pickup was going to run out sometime. But I had a lot to do that day. And I decided that I could push it a little bit more. You know, I have this computer, so I just pushed the buttons. And the computer told me I had 60 miles left. And that's fine. I would sure get all my running done in that amount of time. I didn't run out of gas, by the way. But isn't it interesting how we push the limits? How we know something is going to happen, and yet we keep pushing it off. I can get this done, and that done, and this too, and I'll do that later. Sometimes later comes sooner than we think. Advent is here. Advent is a time to remind us in the spiritual sense, hey, the low gas light is on. Jesus is coming, and he's coming back soon. And today we are one day closer than we were yesterday, and we are as close as we ever have been in history to our Lord coming again to stand upon the earth, coming again in great glory to take all of us home to be with him and to live in peace. This year, this 2020 year, with all of the great things that it has thrown at us, I have had more people ask me than I think ever before about, "Well, Pastor, what do you think? All the events that are going on in the world, is this the end of the world? Is the end coming? Is Jesus coming back? Are these all signs?" And the answer, unequivocally, is yes. These are all signs that our Savior is coming back, and Jesus will stand upon the earth again. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus says this: "There will be signs, the sun and the moon and the stars, and the earth in distress, and nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." These aren't the only signs that we have right now. There have been all kinds of other signs that God was clear about. In the Old Testament, it was clearly portrayed that Jesus would come into our earth, that he would be born of the Virgin, that he would stand upon the earth, that he would die on the cross and forgive us all of our sins. If you want a sign that Jesus is coming back, a sign that no one can miss, it's this: Christ is risen. And he promised, after he rose from the dead and even before, that he would come and stand upon the earth again. Not only do the eyewitness gospel writers record that Jesus died and rose, not only do all of the scriptures point to the fact that Jesus died and rose, even historic writers outside of Christianity point to the event of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. That's the first sign, the sure and certain sign that we cannot miss. The Old Testament points us again to that hope and promise of Jesus. He came to us. He died as our guilt offering. On the third day, he left the grave. He descended into hell to declare his victory and your victory. He declared our total victory, and then he rose again on the third day, just like he promised. Jesus standing there so that the ladies at the tomb, so that the disciples, so that all of those who were there would see him and know this is the first advent, just as God promised. And his second advent is soon. Jesus coming again to stand upon this earth, continuing to give us his peace so that we do not fear, continuing to give us a spirit of unity in a country and cities and states and even families that are so divided about all of the things that are going on. And he continues to promise us through his word. We heard it in all of the readings today. He's coming again, soon, coming to this earth. When Vonda and I were living in Centerville in the parsonage there, there was a wonderful maple tree right outside of our living room window. And it was a beautiful tree, and late in the fall, September, October, you would see one or two yellow leaves, and then as the weeks went on, before long, that tree was completely yellow. It was absolutely beautiful. I knew what that meant. I knew that I had to rake all those leaves up eventually, but I would get to that later. One morning, I left home, and it was a really crisp fall morning with lots of frost. That tree was absolutely radiant in my yard with all the yellow leaves on the tree, and when I got home that night, I had the most beautiful yellow lawn that you could imagine. Every leaf on that tree, almost every leaf, was on the ground. The signs are there. When you see the tree and it comes out in leaf, you know spring is coming. When you have a maple tree and you see a yellow leaf, get the weed eater out or the lawn blower out because you're going to need to rake leaves. When Jesus says, I'm coming soon, he means it. He keeps his promises to us. And he is coming again to this earth. The signs are here and the signs are clear. The signs that Jesus mentions in the gospel reading for today are signs in our world, nations in distress and perplexity. It doesn't take very long looking at the national news and different things to figure out China, North Korea, Russia, Iran, the United States, all of these countries jockeying for political position and more power, and that leaves fear and foreboding. And that's all magnified by the events playing out on the world stage. People paralyzed by politics. In the election and the events now afterwards, wondering what this will mean. The virus and the pandemic have people acting like Chicken Little. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, it's the end of the world. Well, Jesus is coming back, and he promises that. And these signs point us to the hope. Point us to the promise that your Savior will again stand upon this earth and come to do what he finally did, or what he did and completed on the cross. He forgave your sins, and he will come to take you to be home with him. Dear saints, the signs are clear. Jesus is coming back. And if that statement causes you fear, you have to ask yourself this question. Do I see Jesus coming back as my Savior? Do I see him coming back as my King that I love and who loves me and will come to take me home to be with him with joy and gladness? Or do I see Jesus coming back as my judge? to tell me how far I've fallen and how short I am from his holiness and righteousness. Do you worry that the day when Jesus comes back again, you'll see him coming to you and he'll be shaking his finger? He is not here yet. He will come soon. And that gives us time. Time to repent. Time to learn of his grace and mercy. And time to rest in his peace. Do you worry that when Jesus comes back, he won't or can't forgive you? Do you want to know the day and the hour when Jesus comes back, or at least the month, so you know how to plan for everything and get everything done that you want and continue living as your own God? And then, just before he comes, then I'll get my house in order and I'll do the things that Jesus wants me to do. No matter what your answer is, no matter how you answer those questions, know this. Jesus is not slow in his coming. He's patient. He's waiting. He's letting his very gospel be preached into your ears and the ears of all people so that we might know without a doubt that we are so loved by Jesus that he would give his only begotten, that he would give his life on the cross for you, for your forgiveness and for your peace and for your absolute assurance that when he comes again and stands upon the earth, he will not come to you as your judge. He will come to you as your Savior and bring you home to be with him. Dear saints, also know this. God is patient with us. He comes to give eternal life to all. He comes to keep his promises to all people. The death Jesus subjected himself to was your death. He stood in your place, died for your sins, rose again, and gave you his complete holiness. And he soon will come again to take you home to be with him. When Jesus tells us to watch for signs of his return, he also says this. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. These promises that we know from the scriptures are yours. Listen to what Isaiah says. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Zechariah writes, on that day, the Lord will save them as the flock of his people, for like the jewels of a crown they shall shine in his land. In the Old Testament reading, Malachi writes this promise for us. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall come with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And right at the beginning of Matthew gives us this. So she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of these verses point us to Jesus' first advent when he came into our world to save us. These and many other promises of the scriptures, they're there for you, for hope and promise that your Savior did come, he did forgive your sins, and he will come and stand upon the earth very soon to take his faithful home to be with him. If you see Jesus as your harsh judge, these promises, these gospel-forgiving promises are hope for you because Jesus has taken your place, died for your sin, given you his holiness that you need not fear. If you see Jesus as your Savior, then these promises are a present reality with an enduring hope. The low fuel light is on, dear saints. Jesus is coming soon to stand upon the earth and to take his faithful home to be with him. And as John writes later in the revelation of Jesus, to a place where there's no death and no sin and no sorrow and no sadness and no crying and no pain. And that waits for us. Your Savior is coming. The advent of Jesus Christ, your salvation, is closer now than it has been any other time in history. Rejoice and be glad and lift up your heads. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.